I could not help but smile when Dan was talking, not because of what Dan was talking or saying about me, but because I see many of you doing this. And also because one of you this morning were very kind and said, "Robert, you can just take it off." Well, you don't mean take it off. I promise you, it wouldn't be good if I take it off. Brother Joe, it wouldn't be good if I take it off. So I'm going to leave it all on so that I will have on the priestly garments. And my grandmother that picked cotton in a bonnet, she was also the same grandmother that had a baby in the morning, was back hoeing cotton in the afternoon. I believed her when she said it, because you better believe her. If you didn't believe her, you better run for your life. But she was the same grandmother that said, when it's so hot, if you'll put it on, and the perspiration will make you cooler. If it is bothering you because you see the sweat on me, I don't have a problem with that at all. That's okay with me. I'm used to it out in the Pacific, and you that have been with me more recently know that in the country of Tuvalu, it is hot. It never gets cool, and so that's okay. When I will stop, I do not know because I do not watch clocks. So I do not know when I will stop. I do promise you that I'll probably stop. It may be when I go to sleep, but I will stop. And some of you that are trying to smile, but you don't know whether to believe me or not, I will try to stop on time. Isn't it wonderful to be a part of a great energetic congregation like Palm Beach Lakes? And I admire the preachers and the missionaries and the eldership that oversee this congregation. And they are certainly a part of a work and try to make it that way. We feel the same way that you feel about this church. You know, because this is an exciting congregation, I would encourage you to try to get more excited about this being an exciting congregation. This morning as we were singing, I thought about, it's not hot. Boy, these are beautiful songs. And you know, if you got to pull off your coat, pull it off. You know, that's okay. The singing was beautiful. The prayers and the Lord's Supper carried me all the way back to Calvary and reminded me, as Solomon would write, that God's mercy is fresh every morning. I may be good, I doubt that sometimes, but I may be good, but I promise you that I'm not good enough without God's grace and love and mercy to make it to heaven. And I know what impacted my life to bring me into a covenant relationship with Almighty God and the fellowship that I have with Him and the Son. And I know what a wonderful privilege that is. And I know that from time to time I need to be reminded of that. And this morning, many of you are older in the faith. That don't really mean a lot of things, except you're just older. But young people, they are a great example to you that are younger in age. They've blazed the trail. They've remained faithful to God. And they are still active in the Lord's church. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 12, after Peter has reminded them to keep on growing, just stay in that mode of keep on growing, he said, as long as I am in this body, I will continue to remind you of these things. Now, he has encouraged them to do everything they could to make their calling and election sure. But don't you think we need to be reminded? And as John would write 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, He's older in his life. And because he is older in age and experience in handling the Word of God, he says, "And my little children," many times. He's not speaking to little babies. He's not speaking to little children, but he is speaking to those that are members of the body of Christ. We need to be reminded. And from time to time, we need to look at the world. And we need to look at the world, at what we should be doing in the world as long as we are alive. And if we do all that we can while we are alive, then just maybe we will touch the lives of others that will take it on until Jesus comes again. I love what would be written about the journeys of the apostles somewhat, but even more the journeys of the early Christians. And I love that when Paul and those New Testament Christians that were traveling with him came to Thessalonica, I just love, and it tingles my mind and my body. And it really moves my heart. And I pray it moves my body. That these that have turned the world right side up, they have come here too. What amazing thing to be said of these people. What an amazing thing to be said of Paul and those New Testament Christians that are accompanying him. I suggest to you this morning that it may be done by we that are still living today. It may have not been done in the past, and as effectively as it should be done. I am thankful that we are doing more and more today. But have we done all that we can do? Have we done the very best that we can do? You know, it was not only done by those that came to Thessalonica. And you will learn as you read the story of the church at Thessalonica, and as Paul will write the first and second letter, the gospel had gone out from them into all the world. They were a part of that exciting movement. You know, sometimes I like to make life exciting, and I could have made it more exciting by pulling off my coat. I will not tell you the technical reasons why I did not. I will not go into that. I'll reserve that right. But I do like to make life exciting. And just this past week, I carried Mary back to her birthplace in that holy land of North Alabama. And hey, wait a minute, all you Florida and Florida State and Miami fans and now Southern Florida. Better watch out for those other teams in Florida. They're coming along. But I carried Mary back to Double Springs, Alabama. And I wanted to say good things about how that they had blessed my life through Mary. And I had thought about that and how that the gospel had come out from Double Springs. And it has. And they're very involved. Probably 65% of their money is spent in evangelizing locally and around the world. Congregation of about 225 on Sunday morning. And they give big time. They are an exciting congregation like you are. You know, it was exciting for Mary to be there. And she said, "You know, I hadn't really thought of it." And I tried to say to the elders and to the church, there is never a dull moment in our lives. And I thought Mary was going to get up and do the speaking then and really give a dissertation about her life is never boring. Especially when I set off the Bama Crimson Tide clock to go off at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I do it, Joe, just to be happy. And to make Mary smile. Now, when she jumped up in the middle of the bed, the board, the bed, and said, "Who's in the room with us?" I said, "Eli Gold and Kenny Stabler." She liked to have a heart attack. You know, brethren, I feel sorry for some Christians. And I'm going to say it. Because they don't come back Sunday night. And they don't come on Wednesday night. And they're not old and they're not sick. And they don't have a problem. They just don't come back. You know, if we are excited about God, and if we are excited about Jesus Christ, we'll be excited and show it in everything we do, what we do and what we say in every part of our lives. You know, the early church, Colossians 1:23, had carried the gospel to every person under heaven. That tingles my mind and my heart and my body. And that excites me because I know they did it in Thessalonica and from Thessalonica. And I know that the early church do it. And I know you can do it from right here at Palm Beach Lakes. But I also know that it starts or begins with you. And you can't do it by being a slugger. I didn't say a slugger. But you can't do it being complacent. You've got to have the attitude that everything that I do and everything I say, I want to show that I'm energetic about God and His work. Now, how did they do it in the first century? It's simple. And it's not a hard thing. But sometimes we need to refocus and be reminded of how that they did it. Number one, they truly love the Lord. I don't mean love the Lord like I love Mary. That's one thing. And I pray I love her the way I ought to love the Lord too. But you know, they really loved the Lord. You know, many years ago, I came in from a village in Fiji, about 60 miles in the interior, Nasarenabitu. Now, you remember that name. Don't forget Nasarenabitu. There it is, second time you young people got it, computer brains. Okay, now, came in. And our oldest daughter, she was sitting in the living room. That time she was only maybe 6 years old. And so she was sitting in the living room. And I thought when I came in the door, went to the fridge to get a drink of water. I'm very thirsty. And I see her sitting in the living room. And I went over and I said, "Tanya, what are you doing?" Well, those big old green eyes, she looked at me and she said, "Daddy, I'm waiting up for you." Oh, man, that about killed me. It really kills me now. You think about a little girl saying that to their daddy. Little girl saying that to their daddy. And so I went over, and I'm very tired. I wanted to quickly get in bed, midnight. And so I went over and I sat down with Tanya. And I said, "Tanya, I love you now. Get off the bed, you know." Just kind of give her a tap. And she didn't move. I said, "She's serious about something." And I said, "Tanya, I love you, and don't you think it's time for you to go to bed? You know I love you." And she didn't move. She's on my lap at the time. And I said, "Well, I've got to change this. Something's not getting through to her little mind." And so I said to her, I said, "Tanya," I said, "you know, Daddy really loves you." And she just threw her little body around me and hugged so tight. And she said, "I'll see you in the morning, Daddy." And she went to bed. There's a difference in love and truly, really loving something. You know, when we really love the Lord and the Lord says we're to go, that really technically as we are going, we'll carry the gospel to every person. You know, I remember 1960. One, someone bringing the gospel to me. And I'll never forget it. You know, when we really love God, when we really love the Lord, we'll obey His commandments. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep it." That doesn't take a computer age people to understand this. If we really love the Lord, we'll keep His command. And His command is that we go, and as we're going, we share the gospel with everyone that we can. And you know, when we really love the Lord, that agape love, when we really love the Lord, His commandments are not heavy. And they are not burdensome to us. And when we really love the Lord, we'll do what we've got to do. It doesn't matter what we face. It doesn't matter our health. It doesn't matter about our lives. There's always things we can do. And as we are going, we'll truly love the Lord and we'll commit our lives to things that we can do and say in sharing the gospel with others. You know, a few years ago, there were times when I could hardly keep my mind on my work. I'd already gone through a trauma, I guess you can say, an experience. When Mary had colon cancer, we had just moved from Fiji to American Samoa. But this time it was our eldest son, Steve. And I could hardly keep my mind on things. And I left Mary and Maria with Steve's family. I wanted them to stay to help the family. And I wanted to stay myself, but Steve looked up into my eyes with those green eyes. And he said, "Dad, you have no choice except to go. You'll break my heart if you stay." Well, I'm not going to stay after that, no matter what I'm thinking. And so I got on the plane. Went from Austin up to Dallas-Fort Worth. And was going to take a group on a campaign. Got on the plane in Dallas-Fort Worth, changed planes. And for some reason, I got in the middle, back in the old DC-10 days, got in the middle of the plane. Got settled, plane took off. You're going to be 8 hours doing something. And so I wanted to read my Bible because I needed the Word and its encouragement. Left behind Steve with that massive surgery on his brain. Got settled in, and I could think of nothing more than the book of Psalms to start reading. And I read for a while, and now all of you know I'm just an ordinary person. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a preacher such, gospel preacher. Well, I'm just a person, okay? You've got to understand that. I'm just blessed with more opportunities. And I took these even before I became a supported gospel preacher or a missionary. You got to remember, I'm just a person. I was reading, and so as I was reading, finally after maybe an hour or something, the lady sitting next to me, an older lady, she turned and said, "Sir, do you read your Bible a lot?" I said, "Yes." She said, "You're not afraid of flying, are you?" I said, "No, ma'am, I have to fly around the world a lot." And she said, "Well, it's very interesting that you're reading the Bible." Boy, did I see an opportunity. I've got a captivated person right next to me. She can't jump out unless she has a parachute. And I said, "What an opportunity to share the gospel." I've done that before and had people go to the bathroom and stay for an hour in the bathroom. That's as far as they could go. And I'd had that happen a few years before. But I said, "I got a captivated audience." And I began to teach, going back to the first, you know, about Bible authority, and I'm into what must I do to be saved and how to. And finally, it dawns on, I'm so involved in focusing on her, the people over here, they're breathing on my neck, and I know that somebody's breathing on me. And then all of a sudden, I look up, and all the people in the row in front of me, they're turned around, and they're like this. I said, "Boy, I'm going to get these people. They're interested in it." And the people behind me were all up looking over. And I said, "What an opportunity for sharing the gospel with others." And I was just smiling from ear to ear. And then finally, the lady next to me, and one of the ladies right in front of me, they begin to giggle, laugh. And I said, "Ladies, what's so funny?" Lady next to me said, "We're all members of the Church of Christ." And she said, "We're all from Huntsville, Alabama, and we're going to Honolulu and use our vacation time to help the church at Waipahu." There is, or has been in the past, a group that would do that from Huntsville, Alabama, of older people that are older in age. But you know, I didn't know it. And I was not going to miss the opportunity And you know, when we really love the Lord, and it is a part of our life, wherever we go and whatever we do, we'll be sharing the gospel with others. In 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, if you've been married very long, maybe you've heard your wife say, I'd rather see it than hear it. You've ever heard that? Maybe something happened interesting in life and you know, in your experience, you know the Lord had rather see it than to hear it. You know, how did they do it in the first century? They truly loved the Lord. Secondly, they were having favor with the people. They were having favor. This is not just the elders and the deacons and the preachers and the secretaries. This is something that applies to every person praising God. You know, we use this scripture all the time, and we talk about how the Lord adds to the church daily, or that He does add to the church daily. But you know, we don't look at the verse and see why the Lord was adding to the church daily. Because the church was praising God and having favor with the people. I mean, they were people that meant business. They were excited about their commitment to God. And they were people that enjoyed the worship. And they were people that were, wherever they went, whatever they did, they were sharing the gospel with others. You know, when we are praising God, and it shows in our life, and when we are reaching out and having favor with the people in the community, on a congregational level, we're going to see a big difference in the church. In Philippians 1 and 20, Paul would say that the Lord needs to be what? Magnified. He needs to be, He must be and needs to be, He needs to be enlarged in our lives. You know, wherever we go, whatever we do, we may be the quietest person in the world. We may be a very shy person. You know, I know a lady that's one of the great, I just love to do soul winning with that lady. And you know her, it's Mary. She's quiet and she's gentle and she's easy. But she's one of the greatest little soul winners you've ever been with in your life. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you are in life, on the social ladder. It's something that we can all do. If we magnify Christ in our lives, and if we're praising God and we're having favor with all the people, key is, you ever thought how little the church would be if it's only up to the elders and the deacons and the preacher? Think about the small percentage that I've just talked about in the church. Am I right? Amen. That's a small percentage. But if we're all magnifying the Lord in our lives, and wherever we do, whatever we do, and wherever we go, we're taking somehow the opportunity to share the gospel with others. We're acting right, we're living right, we're talking right. It's going to have an impact. And the more that do that, the more impact the church has on the community. And then thirdly, they were teaching daily. You know, many books have been written, and it's wonderful to write books. I appreciate good, solid, sound, biblically books that are written, and lectures that are given, and things that will, it will put things in our mind that will help us to be the right kind of Christian. But you know, most things about the Bible, we just read the Bible and get the good we need from it if we'd instill it in our lives. Now I realize, unless we have someone that will share it with us, we may not be able to really see it in the Word of God. But one of the things that they were doing, they were teaching daily. In Acts 5 and 42, and daily, temple, house to house, public, the temple, public place. publicly and privately. They were just going everywhere. And they did not stop doing it. You know one big problem with older Christians that are older in age and been around a long time in the church? They become bewildered many times. Many of them become bewildered. They become frustrated. They've tried everything and tried to do everything, and it appears the church is not growing. And we get disgruntled as we get older with things because we face so many things in life. We need to get over it. We need to get over it right now today. We need to stay positive, and we need to keep on doing what the Bible tells us to do. They did it daily. They did it publicly. They did it privately. They didn't stop doing it. Now, I love Acts 8 and 4, except the apostles. Therefore, those that were scattered went everywhere. You think they didn't have jobs? Get a life. They had jobs. They had businesses. But everywhere they went, whatever they did and wherever they went, they were sharing the gospel with others. You know, one of the things I've tried to instill, Mary and I both, in the eyes of the island Christians is, wherever you go and whatever you do, try to share the gospel with others some way. It may be enroll somebody in a Bible correspondent course, give somebody a DVD today, give out a tract packet. You know, I love it when they do that. I love it. Just this year, earlier this year, I went into the country of Kiribati up on the equator, just barely off of it, above Tuvalu. And I usually can go through immigration customs pretty quickly, if I get off the plane quick enough. And I'd gone through immigration and had gone on through and when it was in the queue, the line, for customs, and came up to the lady and she was reading the Voice of Truth of International. And I said, "How do you enjoy reading that good Christian paper booklet?" And she said, I love it. She said, "Sir, may I give you a packet of tracts?" She had just been baptized about 2 months before since my last trip into that country. Doesn't that warm your heart? I mean, it's not Robert doing it, but here's a lady that works at customs. And she opened up the tract packet, and it was English tracts, because she could suppose I would be mainly with English. And she said, "Do you know this man?" I had not said anything. "Do you know this man, Robert Martin, that wrote some of these tracts?" I said, "I think I do." I did not tell her until that night at PIBC, at the Pacific Islands Bible College courses. I did not. When I got up to lecture that night, she nearly had a stroke. I mean, she was there and her mouth was just open. And she just said to Brother Tata Tabea, "I can't believe it." You know what I can't believe? Is that. How often do you and I do that kind of thing? You know, we don't have to be aggressive and rude and crude. There's always opportunities. And always, wherever we go and whatever we do, to be sharing the gospel with others. Brethren, if we truly, really love the Lord, we will. If we're praising God and having favor with all the people, we can do it. And if we understand deep in our hearts, it's something we can do every day, everywhere we go. I love going with Mary. I can say some things about her today because she's not here. I love going. And you know, I know in the States, because I go out door knocking, if I'm back here and it happens to fall where Forest Park will work an area where they send, what is it, house to house, heart to heart. And they zero in on subdivisions or areas. And then they go out door knocking, following up on those. They just don't send house to house and heart to heart. They follow up on it. And numbers of people are baptized because of it. I'm telling you the truth. There are numbers that are baptized because of it. So it's a different experience sometime in the States. Went out last year one time with them and went with one of the deacons because I told him, I said, "I'm a little bit rusty doing it in the States and I'm not used to doing it so much." He said, "Hang with me, Robert." So I did. First house went to the man and said, get off my land, get off my house, get out of my house. And I don't care about God and I don't care about religion. It's all a bunch of phooey baloney. Boy, I mean, he went on. I'm saying, whoa, because in the islands, we don't have that. It is very, very, very rare if we have that. Now, somebody might say, well, that's the reason why we don't do it. Now, don't let that turn you off. We went to the next house. And the people said, come in, have a cup of coffee. We get house to house and heart to heart. And we love it. Boy, did that open the door, the very next house. You know, if we really do what we should, it isn't hard. Now, why should we turn the world upside down for Christ? Number one, it is to bring many sons to glory. Boy, have you thought about it? Hebrews 2 and 10. God has already done His part. Jesus has done His part. And the Holy Spirit has done His part, giving us the map to heaven, the way to be saved and become a member of the Lord's church. The only thing left for us to do our part in, as a Hebrew writer would say, bringing many sons to glory. Think about it. On that great day that we, all these people, I just can't wait. I want to wait, but I can't wait. You know what I mean? I want to wait because I want to do more on this earth for the Lord because He's letting it stand. Sometimes I wonder with Him shaking it so hard, but that's okay too. I'm not happy for those who were not prepared. But let me tell you something. I can't think of any better way, now watch this, than to spend your life bringing many sons to glory. Am I right? I mean, I know some of you have great jobs. You have good salaries. You have good family. You have wonderful children, wonderful young people growing up. When you put everything together, what comes up here, number one? Bringing many sons to glory. I just can't wait till the judgment day. And I always tell the island brethren, I'll be looking for you. Don't worry, I'll be looking for you. I'll be looking for you too. But forgive me, I'll look for them first. And I'll be looking for you. Why should we turn the world upside down? To bring many sons to glory. Number two, to be able to save a soul from death. A few years ago, Mary and I were in the country, in the same country I spoke of a moment ago. We were in the country of Kiribati, on the main island of Tarawa. And one evening, one of the PIB students came. And I'm telling you, fellas, let me tell you something. Side of his head was a head again. His head was swollen up big enough to burst. And so immediately, Mary, I knew it was fish poisoning because I know the fish they love and the way they want it prepared that way. And so I told Mary, we've got to get him to the hospital. Brother Baitiri's nephew, Thakariah. I said, we got to get him to the hospital, Mary. And she said, okay. So we went and we just left. And I left the PI, I said, brethren, just hang on till I get back. We carried him, and the doctor said before we left, if you had not brought him tonight, tomorrow morning, I can assure you that he would have been a dead man. Boy, think about how good that made us feel. But think how good it makes us feel. James 5 and 20. When we take a sinner from the error of his way, and we save a soul from death. We save a soul from death. What are you doing? What are you doing to save a soul from death? It's going to take more than one in this church. It's going to take you working together. And when we work together, we can do a greater, more effective job for the Lord. We can do it if we will. And my question to you this morning is, will you help turn the world upside down? I'm not talking about congregationally. I'm talking about will you. I'm going to end really with the way I started. Can we do better? Can we do better? Can we do more? And I know you want to shake your head. I know you do. And I know you want to say amen. And I believe you want to say yes. Well, if we can do better and we can do more, why not make up your mind this morning to make a change in your life for good and help the Lord's church here at Palm Beach Lakes turn the world upside down for Jesus. If you're subject to God's invitation this morning, will you come while together we stand and sing?